All right, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5. We left off there. We took a little hiatus, and then getting back into our study. And while you're turning there, Jesus heals this impotent or paralytic man. He's impotent. He's at the pool. And we talked about a key point, and I want to just talk about the key points of the book of John and what the Lord's trying to do. He's trying to show some things, and one of those things is he's trying to show how salvation actually happens. You know, the salvation is a picture through the stories, through the people that he's talking to. And we talked about in John chapter 2, real quick, the water turning into wine. We talk about salvation comes by the word of God, and that when man's provision fails, Jesus can and will provide that which is far better. Number two, the healing of the nobleman's son in John chapter 4. This was after the woman at the well. We talked about evangelism. Jesus was a soul winner in John chapter 4. But in the healing of the nobleman's son, we talk about salvation is by faith. He just believed the Lord that the Lord would help his son. And that's faith. He didn't need Jesus next to him. He didn't need to be right there. He just trusted the Lord. He placed all his faith in the Lord. Salvation is by faith. Then getting into the paralytic man that we talked about earlier, the man at the pool of Bethesda, he was impotent for 38 years. He was of a sickness. By the way, 38 years is significant in Deuteronomy. The Lord uses numbers in different ways, and it's just incredible. But salvation is by grace. God saw that man. He saw he needed to be healed. It was his grace. The man received something he didn't really deserve. There was a lot of people there that were waiting to be healed, but he saw that man. He saw something in that man, and the Lord acted. And once we get to John chapter 6, we'll talk about a miracle that is in all four Gospels, and that's the feeding of the 5,000. So before we get to John chapter 6, there's this in-between. It's one of the most important passages, and it's one of the recorded longest public discourses of Jesus Christ. In your Bible, in John chapter 5, you'll see tons of red letter, if you have a red letter Bible. It's the largest, one of the largest public discourse of what he's talking about. So this is where we really need to listen up. We're going to see a lot of verily, verily, I say unto you. That's the Lord talking through his word saying, this is important. Everything else is important, but you better prick up your ears a little bit more for this. Starting in verse, the Lord makes him whole. He says, to sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So remember, miracles were to show he was the Son of God. It was to show his divinity, but it didn't. Miracles did the miracle itself does not save one soul. The Lord was using that to save the man's soul by showing him he had to believe with faith that the Lord would heal him. Salvation is that. It's believing in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. Starting in verse 15, it says, The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus. So before they asked him, was it Jesus? And now, after his encounter with Jesus, he says, yeah, that it was Jesus, which had made him whole. He's testifying, he's confessing. And therefore, did the Jews persecute? Now watch, this man of 38 years, could not walk. He's waiting by a pool. He's helpless. He's hopeless. That's our sin. We talked about that, right? We're in helpless, hopeless state. That's our sin. Jesus Christ comes along and he heals him. He heals him of that. He's able to walk again. And he says, don't sin no more. Why is it important? Salvation, right? Salvation is by grace. Then all of a sudden, you would think that this would change people's hearts, right? But guess what? The man departed and told the, and then in verse 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and guess what? Sought to slay him. Here's why. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. They are blinded. They are blinded. This is why religion is so dangerous. They are blinded by a set of rules that what they are looking at, they look at only of what he's breaking those rules. He healed a man, did nothing more than heal a man, and it says they sought to slay him. So why are they so angry that they want to kill him? Now watch. We're going to put this in the eyes of the Jews, okay? Because here's the thing. He broke, they implemented it. He did this on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was a day of rest. So let's turn to some passages on why we think that they might, why they were so angry. It doesn't justify them, but you got to look at it from what they're looking at, the Jews, and then we'll go and see what Jesus is talking about. Okay, so starting with the Sabbath, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 24. And while you're turning there, I just want to make a couple points here. They're in extreme anger over him healing someone. That's not natural, okay? That's not natural. The violation of the Sabbath was a major crime during these days of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all this. But here's the problem. They misunderstood the Sabbath day. In Mark chapter 2, I'm just going to read this while you're in Leviticus. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began, and as they went to pluck the ears of corn, and the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And here's what Jesus says from the mouth of him himself. Ready? He says, now when he rebuttals this, why he's doing it, he's not only going to tell them with authority, but he's going to use scripture and people in the past who were part of their culture, who were Jews, and he's going to rebuke them. Watch. And he said unto them, have you never read, I love this, have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, and he and they that were with him? It's a great question. Didn't you read your Bible? Don't you know your scriptures? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with them. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also over the Sabbath. Go to Leviticus chapter 24. You're probably already there. I'm going to turn there with you. This is an example of now why they would be thinking this. Leviticus chapter 24. And I know I'm jumping around. Starting in verse 10, it says this. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children, among the children of Israel, and the son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed, and they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Sholomith, the daughter of Debri, of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. So the crime is blasphemy of the Lord, and the penalty and the result of that is a stoning. Verse 15, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger. And he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. Keep that in mind. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death, and he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach. Everybody's heard this. Ready? Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. Ye shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God. And Moses spake to the children of Israel that they should bring forth him that had cursed out of the camp and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. So this man by law blasphemed the Lord, and he was to be put to death by stoning. Now, think of how many people today would have been stoned, right? Probably all of us. Why? Because we've all at some point, especially being unsaved, maybe have blasphemed the Lord, right? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't speak ill of the Lord. Don't make light of it. I mean, all that stuff. That's blaspheming the Lord. Now watch. Why are they so in extreme anger? Jesus Christ, we're going to find out, is claiming, what is the book of John about? I am the Son of God. I am God, right? What is he doing to the Jews? What are they perceiving this as? They see him as a blasphemer. See, they are blinded. This is why faith is so important. Religion is a stumbling block. It's because they look and they see a man. He's a man, okay? He's a man, but he's also the Son of God. That's why when you get saved, when you trust in the Lord, it's a changed thing. Is because what do you tell people today? Trust in him. Trust in him. No, I can't trust in him. I got to trust in what I'm doing first. I got to trust in these things first. You're telling me nonsense, right? But it's the same idea, is that they see it as blasphemy. They see Jesus as blasphemy. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. They're looking for a Messiah. They've always been looking for a Messiah to save them. The problem is that fulfillment hasn't been done yet. What the Lord has come the first time is to save all of mankind from their sins. But why is it so important? What is wrong with their vision? They don't know their scriptures. They don't believe the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 15. 18, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Sorry. There you go. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Okay. It's talking about witnesses, okay? And this is going to be later on in John 5. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I read 19, I apologize. Verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. If you have a King James Bible, and you'll notice something there about prophet. Exactly. Who is this prophet, and his name is prophet? From the midst of thee, of thine brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. There's a prophet coming, and you need to listen to him. This is in Deuteronomy. Moses is talking to the children of Israel. They already have the law. What is he telling them? There's this prophet coming. When he comes, listen to him. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that, by the way, as you're reading that, something should go off in your head. The prophet in here is not capitalized, right? But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So what's the difference? So why do the Jews still miss the mark? It's because they didn't believe, they jumped the gun. What happened? Everything followed everything Jesus Christ said, right? Didn't he say, I'm going to tear down this temple and raise it up in 3 days? He's telling him, my hour has not come. He keeps telling him, God's telling him, tell them this. And what happens? He goes to the cross. He dies. 3 days later, he's not in the tomb. So what happened? The Jews are looking at him as a blasphemer. The very charge that they posted on the cross is the charge of his claim. This man's a blasphemer. It says he's king of the Jews. Guess what? He is the king of the Jews. And yet, now in three different languages, they post that on the cross, telling the whole world, there's the king of the Jews. And he really is. But he's also the savior of the world. And see, God's timing is strange, is because he's doing things now, but he's also doing things ahead of time. He's taking care of all those things. It's because, think about it, he's outside of this timeline. But we're looking at it saying, this man's a blasphemer. This man's a blasphemer. He's saying that he's God. He's healing people. Well, wait, Elijah was healing people, right? And then all of a sudden, but Elijah never said, I've healed you, now go and sin no more. He's never said that, right? Paul would heal, Paul rose Eutychus from the dead when he was a long-winded preacher. He fell out of the window. But Paul couldn't save anybody's soul. Jesus did. That's why when he goes to the adulterous woman, when he goes to the nobleman's son, when he goes to all these, not the nobleman's son, but when he goes to the impotent man, the paralytic man, all in all these gospels, he's telling them, I've healed you, but go and sin no more. Why? I've forgiven you. He's the only one that can do that. But see, they're expecting this prophet to come. The prophet finally comes, and guess what? They reject him. This is so important. Why is this so important? It's because people that reject the word of God are rejecting God. Because these are coming from the words of God himself. But in Deuteronomy, it tells me I need to believe the word of God and what's saying that. It's in your law. It's in Moses is telling you there's a prophet that's going to come. So now the prophet's come and you don't believe a word he says. And how, in Mark chapter 2, Jesus is rebutting these people saying, why are you picking corn? It's the Sabbath. He says, David, what did David do? He was hungered and he ate it on the Sabbath. It's David, your father, right? David. See, they're missing the whole mark. This is why salvation is what it is. It's by grace through faith. It's not by keeping the law. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell them. He's trying to tell them. All right, turn back to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. It's important because what we're doing is we're looking at scripture and saying, okay, Jesus said this. Let's look at it from the Jews' viewpoint. Why did they want to kill him so much? Because they're looking in the eyes of religion and their rules and things that they've created and said, well, wait a minute. According to this, yeah, he's a blasphemer. Because they went back to Deuteronomy and said, okay, well, it says that if he's speaking blasphemy, but they didn't believe. That's the problem. So we gotta understand here. Sometimes, Jew or Gentile, they didn't believe. Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He says, my Father. So automatically, two things come off. My Father works. That means his Father's God. He's claiming his divinity. And number two, he says, he works, therefore I work. So what's happening here? Now he's really going to enrage him. I'm God, but also I work. So guess what with your Sabbath? The Sabbath is made for the man, right? The man's not made for the Sabbath. It was for him to rest. It was for him. You've made this into a law. You've made this into a constraint. You're penalizing people. You're doing this. You've created this. This is not God. This is you, man. You've perverted everything that you do. By the time, think about it, when we get to parts of the John, it says this was the Jews' Passover. It wasn't God's Passover. This God's looking at this. By the way, he looks at this in modern day Christianity. He says, that's not me. That's not when I don't recognize any of that garbage. What are you doing? You see what I'm saying? This is happening all over again. That's why Bible-believing churches are small, is because they stick to the Bible. They're not sticking to man's garbage. This is important. That's what Jesus says. Okay. A couple notes I put here. God rested once on the seventh day of creation. It's ridiculous to say that God wouldn't answer prayer or work on the Sabbath day. Think about it. If God works every day, oh, it's the Sabbath day. Sorry, I can't save you and forgive you of your sins. Circular reasoning, right? It doesn't make sense. God's merciful, right? So what they're doing is they're twisting the Sabbath day for themselves, basically, to control the people. God, Jesus sees right through it. He knows what they're doing. And that's why his rebuttal always is, that's why this Bible is important, because the very Son of God himself used the Bible, his words, to rebuttal anything, as we read in Mark 2. This Bible is important. See, when Jesus is in the desert and he's being tempted for 40 days, what does he say? He says, it is written, right? He doesn't just say, be gone, Satan. He says, it is written. He uses the word. The God's word is so important. That's why it's quick and alive, is because Jesus himself, the manifestation of God, is using the Bible. He's using scripture, his words, to rebuttal. That's why we can't take this lightly when we pervert it and all that. And I put that note in there is because we have to believe the words of God. We have to believe this Bible. That's why when we identify as a Bible-believing church, it carries accountability and it carries weight. We're not another church that follows of this, of that. I'm a this, right? I'm a Protestant. I'm all this. That doesn't work. We believe the Bible. That's what a Christian is. It is a Christ one. And being a disciple of Christ is following the Lord. Verse 18. Therefore, ready? We just talked about it. So he says this. He says, the Father works, therefore I work, right? Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but what was his other charge? But said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. There's the charge. There's why he's considered a blasphemer, and that's why we had to go back to Leviticus and Deuteronomy. They're coming from that land. He made himself equal with God. This man should be put to death. And then from as we go into John, they're going to seek to kill him. They're going to seek to kill him. They're just following their law, right? Who gave Moses the law? God, right? And Jesus is who? He's God, right? He's the Son of God. So here's the idea. He made the law. The law was a schoolmaster, right? The law was there to show that you need a savior. You can't keep it. Paul, Hebrew, right? Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, right? Of that good stock. If anybody was to keep the letter of the law to almost the T, it was him. And yet he was killing Christians. He believed in God. He believed in God, but he didn't know the way. Remember, we talked about it earlier today. He didn't know the way of salvation. I believe in God. I know there's a creator, but wait a minute. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. There's salvation right there. I know God, but I need to know, do I believe this? Here's the special revelation to those that are born again. Okay? So he says this, blasphemy, right? That's it. Jesus' charge to them, and from this day, they just see him as a blasphemer. He's John 10:30 says, I and my Father are one. Jesus says that in John later on. He says, I and my Father are one. That Jesus is saying, God's my Father. So starting in verse 19, let's go this quick. Then answered Jesus and said unto them. So they said, now they want to kill him even more because he's a blasphemer, and also he broke the Sabbath. He's a rebel, okay, according to them. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For whatso things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Jesus, and then I'm going to read verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. The works that he's in reference and comparing is healing of the impotent man. You got to picture what's happening right now. The pool's over there. He heals the man. He says, go. There's bystanders. There's people there. There's people there looking at that. He says, there's greater works that I'm going to do than this. Can you think of anything that would be greater than healing a man? Rising from the dead, a resurrection. He says, I'm going to do the greater works than these. Think about it. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. He's and while you're doing this, keep your place in John. What I'm getting at is here is this. He says, greater works than these that ye may marvel. Marveling is astonishment. It's something that's absolutely unbelievable. We marvel at it. It's a marvel. Jesus is in complete obedience to the Father. Complete obedience. He is the definition of a disciple. He looks to his Father and he says he's in complete surrendering to his Father. He says, whatever his Father does, I do. And I can't do anything of my own but if the Father allows it. So what he has done, think about this. If Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus is equal with God, Philippians 2 says it thought it not robbery to be equal with God, right? So wait a minute, what did Jesus actually do? He limited himself and he put himself a little bit lower than the angels and he lowered himself, came as God manifest in the flesh, became a servant, and he's completely and utterly dependent on the Father. But see, wait a minute, he's equal with the Father in power and he's the creator. How is that possible? Do you believe that? Number one. Number two, what he's showing is why did Jesus need to come as a man? It's because this law that I can't fulfill, this law that I'll never be able to perfect it, it's to show something. See, God is trying to reveal himself through time to people to say, you need to get saved. I'm giving you a free will, but here's the hints everywhere. Here's this law, this thing that's going to put you in bondage. Because what's happening now is they're saying, I need to, you broke the Sabbath. You're a blasphemer. You're doing all this, right? Now, are they right to put a blasphemer to death to following their law? Yeah. But the difference here is what? Did anybody come along and start healing people? He's healing people. He's going to continue to do all these miracles. He's showing them. He's showing them. He's showing the way of salvation. He's showing them through the miracles that he's the Son of God. They're not getting it. But he's merciful and he's long-suffering. He's giving them every chance. But what happens is eventually he's brought before Pilate and they say, crucify him. Let his blood be upon us. The extreme hatred. The extreme hatred, but he gives them everything. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. That means we're acceptable, means that we meet the qualifications to be with him. Which hath made us meet to be partakers. So we're qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom, whose kingdom? Of his dear Son. Do you see any authority taken away from Jesus Christ? No. See, it's Jesus Christ's kingdom. He's giving it. He says, this is my Son. Follow him. In fact, when you see on the Mount of Transfiguration, they see all the other prophets, and they say, God the Father says to them, says, don't even bother looking at them. Yeah, they great men. They were great. Look at my Son. Look at my Son. He's the one to look at. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is, ready? Is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of every creature. And then it goes on to 1:16. He's created all things. See, it's amazing because how do you have an image of something that's invisible? You need a manifestation of it. John 1:14 says, and the Word, God the Son, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Why is he the Savior? Why is he this prophet that came? Why should I trust this one? Because he was full of grace and truth. He's the embodiment of grace and truth. He's the embodiment of loving kindness, of the fruit of the Spirit. When think about it, when they're in the presence of Jesus himself, this man is different. This 12-year-old boy is different from every other boy. That's why he needed to come as a man, because think about you being the mother of Jesus and having to, you can't, he does nothing wrong. And he tells them, well, you guys think I'm a blasphemer, but wait till you see. I'm going to do greater works than this. He raises Lazarus in chapter 11. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what? That's not even the greatest marvel. One day, he's going to get to it. We're not going to get to it today. Those graves are going to open. And there's going to be thousands, millions, millions. One day, remember we read in Job, there's going to be a judgment. Job says there is a judgment coming. Everyone will be judged. Now, if you're saved, guess what? You're going to be judged based on what you did for God. That's why we stress, you got to do things for the Lord. You're going to be judged on it. I want to be singing and shouting and praising like it says in the hymns when I see Jesus. I don't want to be crying in terror and fear when I see Jesus. But everybody's going to see Jesus. You see what I'm saying? That's why Jesus says it's so important. He says, I gave you a free will, but you got to make that choice. We got to do that for people today. You got to make that choice. It's such a serious matter. People will say, oh yeah, we believe the same thing. No, we don't. You believe what the Pharisees believed. I need to do something. You're breaking this law and that law. You don't tithe enough. You don't do that. You don't flip those beads enough. And I know it sounds hard, but that's religion. It's in bondage. And Jesus comes along and he says, look, he says, this marvel, this greater work than healing a man of 38 years, he was sick. I'm going to come along and I'm going to die upon a cross. And then 3 days later, I'm not going to be there. And then when I reveal myself to you, I'm not going to be a spirit. No, you're going to be able to literally handle my flesh as if it was on that cross. Thomas pokes the side. Why is that so important? It's because a bodily resurrection. Jesus talking about greater works than this. Lazarus still had to die in chapter 11. It's appointed men once to die. After this, the judgment. Still had to die. Jesus Christ, power. He has the power to, one day those graves are going to be opened, right? One day we're going to be perfect. It's incredible. John, turn to John chapter 17. We'll got 5 minutes. Oh, that clock's fast. Okay. John chapter 17. Why is the word of God so important? John 17, this is the prayer of the Son praying to the Father, one of the most intimate portions. He's pouring out his heart. He's praying for himself. He's praying for the world. He's praying for Christians. He's praying for future Christians. He's praying for everybody. It's a great chapter to preach on prayer. Let's look at the one who's perfect and see how he prayed. And let's start acting like that. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify, separate them, make them holy. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. John 17:17, what does it say? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 19, sanctified through the truth. If the word is the truth and he's going to sanctify them through the truth, we're sanctified through the word. Thy word is truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also. Ready for this? Which shall, what does shall mean in the King James Bible? Right? It's future. Shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He's the prophet. He's come. They're looking in the scriptures. What's the problem? Why do they reject him? They don't believe the word of God. They don't believe the word of God. Jesus himself is audibly speaking the words of God right here, and they reject it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's incredibly important. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. God's given you glory, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." It's a heavy portion of scripture. We see so much there. We see him, creator, he's the savior, the oneness with the Lord. And he says, they're going to have that same thing with the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important when you're really saved, you're really saved. And anything we do after that is so contrary, you have to almost be temporarily an atheist. Why? Because God's indwelled in you. You see what I'm saying? That's why he says, sing. What is the Jesus Christ, before he's going to the cross, he prays that what for Christians? That they get sanctified. So that other people may believe, as well as that they are encouraged and all that. It's so important. This greater work that he does on the resurrection, when he's resurrected, see, the payment happens on the cross. The sin is covered on the cross. The judgment, our judgment for sin, for Christians, is done on the cross. That's why when we go to the judgment seat of Christ, he's judging the works. Because why? It's because our soul is already saved once we trusted him. So he takes the penalty and he says, I'm nailing all your sins to my cross. You can't pay them. You'll never be able to pay them. I'm perfect. I needed to come as a man to pay for your sins. It's done on the cross. The eternal life comes 3 days later when what? When he rises from the dead. Why? Because he's literally took the keys of death and hell. He took captivity captive. He brought them to heaven. What happened? Eternal life. He defeated death and hell. They're cast into the lake of fire in the future. Sin is defeated, all that. So when I sin now as a Christian, I have the power. He's given me the liberty and the power to overcome that sin through repentance, through prayer, through the renewing of our mind. That's why a Christian, when they get saved, and a Christian 30 years later, should be almost two different people. And if they're not, something is wrong. Something's wrong. Seriously. So why? Because we are a new creature. I'm not doubting salvation in anybody. What I'm saying is Jesus is praying to the Father for sanctification. Why is he doing all this stuff? Why is he talking? If Jesus himself could, those Pharisees that doubted him, he could snap his fingers and they could just evaporate into nothing. But he's long-suffering and he's loving and he knows that they're emotionally attacking him. They don't believe. He has a love that we don't understand. He has a patience and a long-suffering we don't have. Mercy. Mercy we don't have, but somehow, he shows us this, and he says he prays for our sanctification. How does this tie in? Because what's happening here is Jesus is going to get attacked in John. He keeps getting attacked, that they're going to want to kill him. They're blaspheming his name. I mean, in other gospels, they called him practically, he was a bastard, because they thought Mary had him out of wedlock. I mean, it's just, he gets attacked. So if you think you get ridiculed for being a Christian, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. A couple notes and we'll end here. Each of the four Gospels tells of a miracle done on the Sabbath. The reply in each instance relates to the emphasis of that Gospel. Remember when we started this study, we said we're going to teach on the four Gospels and then we'll focus in on John. Matthew was the king, right? It was the Jewish heritage. In Matthew, he refers to when on the Sabbath, on the miracle, he refers to David eating the showbread on the Sabbath. It's also in Mark, but there's another passage. David eats the showbread on the Sabbath to show Jesus as king of the Jews. Jesus appeals to them as Jews to the example of David, their king, and the teaching of the law. It's important. Know your audience. Jesus knew his audience, right? In Mark 2:23-24, he's referring to David's showbread again. The Sabbath was made for man. Jesus Christ in Mark, he's a servant, right? He was made for man. Mark presents Jesus as a servant. The law as a servant, ready? It wasn't, the Sabbath wasn't meant to restrict man. It was meant for him to have a break. We just read that. Luke, Jesus Christ is the sinless, spotless Son of Man. It appeals in Luke 13. It appeals to his human empathy and sympathies. He's a man. He feels like a man. You would do more for your livestock. If you read that passage, we can't get there today. But in Luke 13, 14 to 16, it refers to the livestock example on the Sabbath. And it says, you care more for the livestock than you do for this woman who's disabled. So he's appealing to the empathies. He's saying, you don't want me to heal this woman, but you care more for this cow? Look at today's age, right? People care more for their animals than they care for human beings. And finally, in John, he said it, God works every day, therefore I do. And I work for the man. Jesus Christ, four times, he four claims to be deity in John. They're in John 3:13. He's the equality of place. He is seated with the Father. He's in the same place as the Father. And he's equality in nature. His very nature, he's equal with the Father. John 5:18, we just saw that. He's equal in his existence. He's always been eternal. He's always been eternal. John 8:58, remember before Moses, before Abraham was, I am? Right? Remember that? He's I am. That's his name. Exodus chapter 3. And finally, in essence, his very being, he's equal with the Father. They're one. John 10:30. Jesus, those claims of being deity is so important in John. His trouble is trying to get past the people not believing. And he's trying to, he needs as much people as possible. He said, what I'm about to do, I'm going to pay for your sins. Please believe me. Because he knows what's coming. He knows what's coming. There's a hell. There's a lake of fire. We're accountable. And that's what we got to do today is preach that gospel. So we'll end with that for today. And we'll continue on the next time we're here. And we'll start in verse 21. There we go.